The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. We're looking at the story of Christmas as we finish out the program, as we finish out the week just before Christmas week. We were just looking at Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And we were looking at the person of Christmas. God with us. The fact that the baby was and is God. The incarnation, the condescension. But I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but why Bethlehem? Why did God choose to come and become a man, a baby in Bethlehem? Well, we know it was the city of David, and the Messiah was to be of the seed of David. There's no doubt about that. But there's another reason as well. Have you ever heard of the Tower of the Flock, or the Tower of Migdal, or Migdal Eder, the Tower of the Flock? If you haven't heard of it, hang on for something just unbelievably exciting. I want to take you real quickly to Micah in the Old Testament, Micah chapter 4 and verse 8. There is a prophecy there in the book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. And then move right across the page to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Two prophecies about one Messiah. The Tower of the Flock. Almost all Bible scholars believe that that Tower of the Flock was the Tower of Migdal, later known as the Migdal Eder. Now, what is that all about? Bethlehem was known for many things. There was a huge water aquifer under Bethlehem that provided a lot of the water for Bethlehem. And by the way, it still does today. But it was also significant for something else. Bethlehem is where the temple sheep, the temple lambs for the temple sacrifices, particularly the Passover, were raised. There was a flock of sheep dedicated to the sacrifice of the temple, and there were a group of shepherds that were hand-picked by the Jewish religion to care for this very special flock. These sheep were the best of the best of the best because they were being raised for the sacrifices at the temple. And they built there what they called the Tower of the Flock. Now, it was a tall tower, and it was used as a military site. They could watch out for the enemy coming. But down in the bottom, there was a stable. There was a place where animals were kept. And it had a very unique, special place because when one of the temple sheep was getting ready to give birth, the shepherds would bring that pregnant lamb into the Tower of the Flock. And that's where the baby lamb would be born. And because it was, listen, are you ready? Because it was born to die, the sheep would wrap it in swaddling clothes, indicating the purpose for which it was born. That was at Bethlehem. Have you ever wondered why when the angels appeared to the shepherds and just told them there's a baby and he's in the manger, that the shepherds didn't ask for directions? There must have been hundreds, maybe thousands of mangers all over Bethlehem, feed troughs for the animals. But they didn't even ask for directions because they knew. They knew where the baby Messiah would be born. They were probably very familiar with Isaiah chapter 53, the wonderful prophecy about the fact that the Messiah would offer himself as a suffering lamb for the sins of the people. And these shepherds knew that this baby born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, was the one who was born to die. It was not just the city of Bethlehem, but this very specific place, this stable where the Son of God, the Messiah, was born. Yes, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. But then I've got to hurry. God, that's the person of Christmas, but then with. This is the presence of Christmas. You say, Bob, are you spelling that P-R-E-S-E-N-C or C, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E or P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S? And I'm spelling it both ways. Because God became a man to dwell with us. His presence was with us, which brought about the greatest present of all. I love Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be tempted, or we have not a high priest which cannot be tempted, who cannot be touched with who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There's never a time that you can say, well, God just doesn't understand what I'm going through. Jesus came. He became a man. And Scripture says he was tempted. He was tested in all points. In everything that you were tested with, I have been tested with. He was tested and yet without sin. Because he was here, because he dwelt among us, because he became a man, there is never a time that you can say he doesn't understand, because he does. But get this, not only did he come to dwell with us, it went beyond. Let me take you to John chapter 14 very quickly and verse 17. Even the Spirit of Truth, Jesus is speaking to his disciples before he departs. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you. And look, and shall be in you. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is now with you. All through the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come, he would leave, he would come, he would leave. But Jesus says there's coming a time that he will not only be with you, but he will be in you. And then in verse 23 of the same chapter, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our abode, his house, his dwelling place. That's why the New Testament says he came and tabernacled among us. And now today, if you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has literally taken up residence in you. He lives in you. He dwells in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Ghost. God with us. He is always with us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. There is never a time, never a place where you are alone, because God with us. All right, we'll be back and wrap it up.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Thank you once again for joining me today on this Friday before Christmas, and we're using these portions of the program to talk about what Christmas really is all about. And I've been drawing your attention to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God, that's the person of Christmas. It's all about a baby, but that baby was and is God. And the whole concept of the incarnation just blows my mind, that the creator, God of the universe, Jesus Christ, Son of God and God himself, condescended to such an extent that he became totally dependent. The creator became totally dependent upon the created, the creature. He couldn't feed himself, couldn't change himself, couldn't care for himself, because God became a man. And by the way, I've heard people say, and there's even an old gospel song, that God was looking all over heaven for a volunteer to come down to the earth, that would come down and die for the sins of mankind. And finally, Jesus said, Father, I will go. That's part of what Mormonism actually teaches, but that's so totally untrue. The Bible says that Jesus was the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't fully understand the Trinity. No one does. I don't fully understand the interaction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I know this. If the Word of God is true, and I believe that it is, it was Jesus who was the author of this entire plan of redemption. It was Jesus who made the decision to condescend, to become the incarnate God, God in the flesh. And once again, I know I'm emphasizing this a lot, but we cannot forget that that baby was and is God. And that's why the nativity scenes cause so much controversy, because it's God. But then with, he became a man, God with us. And because of that, he understands everything that we go through. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Did you know, my friend, there has never been a time since you've been born that you have actually been alone? You say, oh, Bob, you're crazy. Of course, there have been many times that I've been alone. I remember that one time I was all alone. I was so distressed because there was no... Hey, you have never been alone. Why? Well, remember the omnis describing God? One of the omnis is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere all the time. That means that God is always with you. And if you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, God is always in you. We were talking about that just before the break. He dwells in you. He lives in you. And yes, you may feel abandoned by friends, family, neighbors, but my friend, you are never alone because of Christmas. God, the person of Christmas, with the presence of Christmas, and then finally, us. That is the people of Christmas. I find it absolutely interesting that Scripture does not say, his name shall be interpreted Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with the Jews, God with Israel, God with the Gentiles, God with this group, God with that group. No, it's a very broad, general statement. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. anyone. Anyone who will trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior is given the power to become a son of God, the Scripture says. No matter how lost, no matter how rebellious, no matter how evil, no one is beyond the grace of God. And my friend, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. Here is the real message of Christmas. Jesus came, was born in Bethlehem, in a stable, in a manger, but not just any manger, as we looked at just a few minutes ago. And just like the sheep that were born in the Tower of Migdal, the Tower of the Flock, were literally born to die, they were born to be a sacrifice. Jesus Christ was born to be a sacrifice for the sins of mankind, including you, your neighbor, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife. He came to die for all. A lost, rebellious human race, Jesus Christ came to save. And that's why this Christmas, I hope and pray with all of my heart, with all of my being, that you have not missed the greatest present that has ever been given, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. And my friend, I want you to hear this. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die tonight and you went to the gate of heaven and Jesus came out to the gate and said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? No, give me an answer. Seriously, what would you tell him? Well, you might say, I was baptized as an infant. I am very, very sorry to tell you. That's not going to open the gate. Or you might say, I was raised in a strict Christian family. My mom and dad were Christians. My grandmother and grandfather were Christians. I'm from a long line of Christians. In fact, my grandfather was a Baptist preacher. If that's your answer, the gate is going to remain closed. You might say, I have always been a Christian. I was born in a Christian home, and from the earliest time I can remember, I've always felt religious and I've always loved God. The gate will remain closed. Or you might say, I'm a member of a good church. I'm a member of a wonderful church, and I'm very active in my church, and I sing in the choir, and I've done many wonderful things. The gate will still remain closed. Maybe you would tell Jesus about all of your good works. You were a member of the Rotary Club. You were part of the Lions Club. You have given dollars and maybe many dollars to charities. Maybe you rang the bell for the Salvation Army. My friend, the gate will still remain closed. Well, I was baptized as an adult. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad. But the gate will still remain closed. You see, salvation cannot be earned in any way, shape, or form. It is received by faith. The only answer that would open the gate is I realized that I was a sinner. One day, I confessed my sins. I recognized that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I accepted the free gift of eternal life. If that's your answer, the gate will swing right open. My friend, if that's not the answer you would give, you can receive Jesus Christ today, right now, right this minute. Simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I want Jesus Christ to save me.